Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Welcome to our Christian Television Network audience. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the producer. I know he's in a pink jacket this morning from Seminoles, but in the context of that, this, he is the brains behind.
So orange, by the way.
He is the brain. He is the. Is it the left lobe or the right lobe?
I don't know. He definitely has a lobe, though.
He definitely has a lobe. Don't, you know. Anyway, this is Pat Hamilton.
Hello. I think.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. That's pretty proper.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
What's up?
Not much.
G? No. G?
Not yet. Don't do.
Okay. Hey.
I'm not speaking Spanish.
All right,
I did
good.
It last time. And you do this forever. It's like, okay. You are Puerto Rican. You think we speak Spanish a little bit here. You know what I'm saying? Come on. We need it. I wish I could speak Spanish.
But you can learn.
I know. I was watching Rosetta.
And what'd she say?
She's gaining a little weight. Do you know what? John Ramos. Do you know what Rosetta is? Rosetta Stone?
What is it?
That was the stone they found. That helped them interpret the hieroglyphics. The Egyptian stone, which is in Great Britain. The more you learn in history, you're like, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. They took the Egyptian stone. They actually took the Google mechanism for Egypt to determine what was written on their walls. And they still have it. So they have a replica now in Egypt, I think, in the museum there. But Rosetta Stone, because that helped break the language code for understanding hieroglyphics. I didn't know you know this. Thank you for not saying nothing.
I don't know. Hey, you know, this first I heard it.
Oh, wow, he went out. And so then this company called Rosetta Stone, which is not a sponsor yet, but if you are listening, we would like you to join our
Absolutely.
Crew.
Absolutely.
You know, and so Rosetta Stone is like breaking the language code.
Wow, okay.
You know, men are trying really hard to undo what God did at the Tower of Babel.
No doubt.
And the dangerous thing is when men get together, when a whole bunch of men get together, it seems really good, but Cora pops up, and then Alinsky pops up, and then, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I know what
you're saying. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So how are the Seminoles doing? Doing good?
Wouldn't know.
We got to get to our Ian list. Wait a minute. Let me tell you. The sound just keeps going out of my ears. Is that me, or is that the radio, or is that the producer? Anyway,
Okay.
Did you hear it? Is that
the
me?
Hits keep coming, man.
I hear it.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about the world's largest police force.
Hmm.
The top 10 largest police forces. Because you're probably going to come well acquainted.
Interesting.
Come well acquainted. Would you like something to eat? Anything like that? Yeah, no, go ahead. Take the chair. It's fine. You know, forget about the first, second, third, fourth, fifth amendment. You know?
Yeah, right.
And so, but the largest police force. Top 10 largest police force, according to the Jerusalem Post. And also, we're going to be talking about today, as we're speaking, and we wanted to bring it to you live, but we will bring it to you probably today or tomorrow. VFN Radio is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But on our Christian Television Network audience, we're going to bring you the most motivational speaker on the face of the earth.
Hmm.
One that just brings back and you think, like, man, he sounds like he believes in America and God over America and the original intent of his nation. It's like, but he's Israeli. I mean, he is the prime minister of, Israel. He's speaking right now as we speak at AIPAC.
Oh, awesome.
You know, American Israel Policy Alliance Committee or something of that nature. But you can go to it right now at AIPAC.org or go to VFNTV.com and click on it because we have it there so you can watch it live.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're watching it live, you can be a little ahead of the game right here. But I'm telling you, when I heard Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speak at the United Nations, wasn't that so encouraging?
Yes,
very. Like, yes, you know? And then we heard the soldier yesterday. Oh, we talked about him, but you can see him now on the VFN Torch. You got to go there because this Israeli Defense Force, when you hear IDF, that's like saying American soldier. That's an Israeli soldier. You know, semantics matter.
Yes, they do.
Ha-Jiminy Crickets. Ha-Jiminy Crickets. Not just Jiminy Crickets, but Ha-Jiminy Crickets. That means we're on the rule of the world. And he stood up and he gave his right arm, his left arm, and his right arm was, we don't know what was covered up, but as defending his country, defending Israel. And he looks over at his soon-to-be wife that he's proposing to his girlfriend in front of all the friends of IDF. And he says, and just like they tell us that they, our wives, our children, and our families are the reason why we defend her.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, the word defense?
Yeah.
You know, did somebody say defense? Mm-hmm. Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
It's like, wow, wouldn't that be cool if we had a defense? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, defend our borders from enemies, foreign and domestic, and defend our Constitution, and defend the First Amendment rights to be able to freely. And speaking of that, we're probably not going to have time to talk about this, but we'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch. This 2008 German family that came from Germany to America because Germany, and this is our future, by the way, if we do not repent, Germany said, we raise your kids. You do not homeschool. We're the ones that train them up, and we teach them the ways that we want them to go. And realize that's how this is now. But we have this, what's the school thing they're working on right now?
Common Core.
We just need to be the collective. The collective Common Core. And there's some, you know, and anyway, and listen, it's better to be ignorant and loyal to God and be a shepherd in the middle of the field, tending your flock,
no doubt,
loving on God, than to be all blown up with your own wisdom and your own, you know, knowledge puffs up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And thinking you actually don't need God. And sometimes, you know, knowledge can puff up. You make us prideful. Well, I have no idea. Do you remember?
Germany. Family.
Yeah, this German family. And so I'm just so shocked this just happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And so they've been here since 2008. They requested asylum because they came, busted into their house. They busted into their house. The German police did. That's why we know how big the police forces are.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate the police officers, you know, but they're under authority, that type of thing. And so, and they took their kids from them. I mean, think about it. They took their kids from them. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
And they said, because you are homeschooling your kid, you're teaching them how to read, how to write. You're teaching them about God. You know, you're teaching them the biblical principles. And they just came in the middle of the night while they were sleeping, busted in their door, and just held back the parents and took their kids and put them in a black van type thing. I saw it. Wow. And took them away.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, can you imagine? And this is what we don't get in America yet. I mean, some people do. I'll tell you who does get it. You know, our ancestors and our brothers and sisters who were oppressed in this nation, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
They get it. And that's why I'm beginning to see more and more why this third great awakening is probably going to come from our African-American brothers and sisters who have this amazing amount of grace and mercy and wisdom and knowledge about, you know, you got to go with God. You got to go with God. And don't just because, and this is so cool because I just heard in Tallahassee on the news, the very thing that God was telling me in my sabbatical was, and this is what people think, just because it's legal does not mean it's moral.
Mm.
And that's what people think. Oh, it's okay. We can sin now because it's legal, you know, and people were kind of like just, and what happens is you get men's approval when it's legal and you don't get hampered by those who enforce the law because it's legal now. But just because it's legal doesn't mean it's immoral. And they were standing up and they said, you know, there was a day that, you know, you had the white hospital and you had the black clinics. Mm. And he said, that's no more. But what you have now is the white insured and the black uninsured. And I thought, you know, if it's the same thing, we got to deal with that. That's unjust.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, how are we going to deal with this thing? And I just really believe you know, they really understand. They really understand. And a Christian African-American who loves you, who loves this nation, loves God, and is loyal to the Lord is an amazing, that knows their journey. I mean, there's a lot of people don't know their journey. They're just like taking it for granted, you know, where we are today. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are amazing folks, you know, and the church needs to open their eyes and recognize. Oh, open your eyes and recognize that. I mean, think about it. If that was you, I mean, how many people going around there bitter? Like, I'm bitter. It's like, you suburban, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. How could you be, you know, what? What? You got a flat tire on your Corvette? I mean, what's up? Your parents not going to pay your policy? You're 38. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Come on, wake up. And it's like, we don't have a grid for that. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, I just happened to see BET Honors had a program where they were honoring African Americans for their achievements, and they were recognizing, I believe his name is Ken Chenault, who is the third African American CEO of a large Fortune 500 company. He's the CEO of American Express. And to hear him talk, and 60,000 people were from American Express, by the way, around the world.
Yeah, I saw him interview before.
That's one intelligent man. Yeah. That's one intelligent man. But he was able to detail his journey and speak about it. He says, I started out in, you know, with the position, came out of Harvard. Mm-hmm. And within a couple of years, he doubled all these profits. He says, when I used to speak in the beginning, they would actually just ignore me. And then... Then he kind of rose to being the actual guy who ran the entire company. Mm-hmm. But he had just had a great way of bringing everything into context, you know, and it was just really, really good
stuff. Didn't he start off on the bottom of that company, too, and work his way up?
What I understood is that he came straight from Harvard and took one of these positions and just, you know, performance and just worked himself up.
Yeah, I saw him interviewed. I'm thinking, you know, that this is just, it's just so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not one that necessarily... Anyway, so getting back to this, we'll talk more about it later. So this German family, who's been here since 2008, and you can seek asylum with America if you're being persecuted for your beliefs. And so they came to America seeking asylum. Mm-hmm. And courts began to rule against them, until it finally made it to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, in lieu of this reality, in lieu of the First Amendment, and in lieu of what we stand for... Come to me, all you huddled masses. What's on the side of the Statue of Liberty? The Supreme Court didn't even hear the case.
Wow!
They didn't hear the case, or it's basically they've lost in the Supreme Court. To put it that way, and this family is going to have to go back, unless there's intervention, because we left who we are. What do you think the future is for you, Church? Mm. What do you think our future is? Understand. Don't worry about politics. You know, don't worry about left wing, right wing. You know, understand this. God is the one that created the wings. He's the one that's in control. We need to get up under his wings like Psalm 91 talks about and realize he brought us in, he brought America into this world, and he can take America out of this world. He allowed these, you know, flawed yet desperate men who saw a way out with this experiment called the United States Constitution and a new country, who laid down their lives for this experiment that's still here today. And he could have taken it out, but he didn't. And so here we are today. What are we going to do in our generation? What are we going to do? And if we put God first, separate the kingdom of God from the kingdoms of this world, even America, and realize if we do that, God will give us, potentially, let us keep America. We need to pray for this German couple. We'll have the details up for you on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. Imagine if that's you. Imagine if that's your family. And we're seeing a boy in Oregon taken from his parents. We saw a girl from in Boston taken from her parents, both in hospitals. Don't think the future is that they think they know how to do it better, because the bigger government gets, the reason why it gets bigger, because they say, you don't know what you need, you know. Mm-hmm. And we got to begin to say, you know what, you're right, but we're going to get smarter, we're going to get educated, and we're going to start paying attention to our lives and raising our families and doing things the Lord's way. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can your faith prevent you from a promotion or raise? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work on a floor where there's a nurse, and she's constantly harassing me every time that I talk about Christianity. It is my nurse, and she's going to do my evaluation, that she does not like that I'm a Christian, and I'm always talking about Jesus constantly.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this. So she cannot deny you a promotion or a pay raise or an evaluation because of your religious faith. Under Title VII of the United States Code, taking that into consideration is a violation of the law. So every case involving employment situations are fact sensitive, which means we've got to look at the facts of the individual case. I'll get you in touch with, hang on the line here, we'll get some quick information from you, get you in touch with our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We were talking about this German couple. You can find out more about it. Pray for this couple. Pray for this couple. Realize that, can you imagine now, you're having now to go back to a country that said, they're sitting there where they're drooling, you know, if you would, saying, give me your kids. Give me your kids. Now you know why the enemy's trying to kill all of our kids, trying to take all of our kids. And we have some segments on that we've talked about that, and I don't want to carry too much, but it's amazing. You know, we how many children have we aborted? How many children has America aborted, approximately?
55 million plus.
And if you were going to put those in states, how many states would that be equal to?
About 25 states, half the nation.
So we basically aborted 25 states worth of population since 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And they're cranking it up a notch with the different ways to do that now that, and it's like, why are you after our children? Why? What's wrong with children? And then you see the spirit on folks. And it's like, that's your child.
Mm.
That's not my child.
Right,
that's your child.
Right.
It's not the government's child. That's your child.
That's right.
And this is how they're made. Your seed, her egg, boom, destiny.
It wasn't the water. Okay?
It wasn't the water. And it wasn't an accident.
Mm-mm.
You know. And so the whole thing is, that begin to, the enemy stole this from you. This is what the enemy stole from you. That's called a blessing.
Mm.
That's called a blessing. When God blesses you with offspring, that's called a blessing. You're not trying to squeeze in your blessing while you're doing this other thing that the enemy's calling a blessing. Having a family is a blessing. The ability to reproduce. Hannah cried out with a barren womb, crying out for children. Why somebody else is like, you know, just yesterday, I believe, they're reporting on the news that this young lady living with her boyfriend gets pregnant. She convinces him that she's not pregnant. She says that my colon's swollen. This lady has a baby and delivers it at home. Nobody knows. I mean, you talking to men, let me tell you something. You're so checked out that your woman's pregnant with your child and you're living with her and you don't even know it. You are seduced by technology, media, and what, I mean, come on. That's a tough thing to do, to live with a pregnant woman while we're going through these stages, you know. I mean, she's going through all this stuff. You know, how could you not even recognize? But anyway, she had this child, and she says she thought it was stillborn. She puts the child in a plastic bag, throws it in a ditch. This is just yesterday. But you know what? This is the spirit that's over this land. How can you kill, 25 states worth of population, you said? And not think it's going to permeate our culture. How can you think that? And so this lady goes to the hospital and because she's having internal bleeding, and she's convincing them that, no, I didn't have a child. And, of course, the hospital knows whether you have one or not.
Right.
But they overheard her conversation to her boyfriend telling her. And that's how they found out. They went out to go see if the child was alive, and the child was there taking a breath like every one, or I forget the exact thing, but we'll make sure it's available for you. The whole story is available for you on the VFN Torch. And so the baby was still, while she was there worried about her internal bleeding, worried about what her boyfriend, who should have married her, you know, in the context of that, was thinking, her baby was in a bag gasping for air in a ditch in a suburb-type neighborhood area and some sort of, like, subdivision. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what? Is, and they, so they went out immediately, and they found out to rescue the child when they found out. And they brought it to the hospital, and they're giving the child, rest, you know, CPR and all that kind of stuff, and the child dies at the hospital. Don't criticize this woman if you put men and women in office who say it's all right to kill your children.
That's right.
This young lady, she's young enough to have grown up in your environment that you created by putting these leaders who do not have godly values in office. You have to understand, she grew up in that. She grew up in the environment that says, you know, children are optional. They're not really people. It's a zygote, you know, it's an embryo. And it's like, no, it was a baby gasping for air in a plastic bag in a ditch in your neighborhood. But see, well, you know, when does that start? When does that end? And the community wants to have an outrage against this girl. But the reality is you've confused her with your messaging, with your narrative. I mean, how does she know? When it was in my womb, you said it wasn't and I can abort it. But now it's out of my womb, you're calling me a murderer?
Right.
So if it's in my womb and you kill the child, it's not, you're not a murderer. But if I bring it out of my womb, then I'm a murderer. Mm-hmm. This just happened yesterday. They just found this baby yesterday. And like, do you see the confusion right there? That's the enemy. Satan is the author of confusion. We need to pray for this young lady. We need to pray for all the young ladies that are going through this right now. And we need to say, dear God, help us go back to the original tent of relationship. Help us to go back and see family as the blessing that it is again. Mm-hmm. I mean, the enemy's just ripping the whole, I mean, we've been fighting for a long time in the context of family. Mm-hmm. And that's how this birthed, you know, where we are here on VFN TV, the daily radio program, because you know, we've been fighting for families for a long, long time. And the thing about it is, you know, families only work when they operate in the context of the one who created family, God. Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. And now, I mean, some of the arguments is like, you know, it's just, oh, my goodness. Listen, this is tragic what happened to this child. This is tragic, the belief system of this particular lady. But you know, if you think about it, if you pause for a moment and move from your repulsiveness and what happened and think, wait a minute, did I confuse her? Did I confuse her over the last 18 years or 20 years? I mean, Roe versus Wade, was it 50 years? 56?
About 40 years.
40 years, the last 40 years. Did I confuse her? You know, and think, it's unfair. It's unfair if we tell people the wrong message. I mean, think about it. Because if the doctor would have put that baby in a bag, he would have made money. But she put the baby in the bag a few moments later, and the state makes money because she's going, people are going to put money, put her in jail.
That's right.
Isn't that crazy? Think about that.
That's crazy. Insane.
That's the truth. I mean, I'm not, think about it. If the doctor would have took that baby and put saline solution inside that womb, and we're going to have, you know, with us, the CEO and president of Concerned Women for America this week, as a matter of fact, you're talking about these things. But understand that if that doctor would have put that baby in a bag, if it would have snuffed out the life of the baby on the other side of that thin layer of skin inside the womb of that woman, then he would have been a hero with a lot of movements today. And she would have, nobody would have said anything.
Right.
But the very fact that the baby chose to come outside that thin layer of skin, and she did the same thing the doctor did, and she disposed of the baby's body the same way the doctor does. Now everybody's in outrage and focused on her. How about let's start putting some doctors in jail that are killing these children? I mean, we got to help out. I mean, these young people coming up, they don't know. They will know down the road when they realize, you know, I killed my first one, I killed my second one, I killed my third one, and they never can celebrate the fifth one because they know the first four that they took their life. They live in this constant guilt and shame, and that's what the enemy does to you. And God will forgive you if that happened, but understand this is the enemy trying to change the way we think and our DNA. But how did, what did God do? And we read about the Word of God. You can read. It's people. It was a sign of being blessed. When your womb reproduces, when you have a child, that's a sign of being blessed. And forget about all this religious Christianese stuff. You know, when a child is born, God gave that child life. And you can speak life into that child, and they can be raised up, even if they're raised up in Pharaoh's house. You know, even if they're raised up in Pharaoh's house. Moses got his name from Pharaoh's daughter. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so even if Eli's got to raise Hannah's son, we got to begin to celebrate life again. We got to pray for this young lady. And you can find out more details and see the report on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com.
Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there? Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we've got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV, the daily radio program. Your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John...
Ramos!
Ramos!
Hello, hello.
Winner,
hello.
Winner, winner, winner.
Chicken dinner.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I'm hungry.
That sounds good, don't it? Sound good,
man.
It makes me want to go out there to Auntie's and get some fried chicken.
And fried chicken, pulled pork ribs, she has it all.
That's right. If you want to find out how to get to her, go to vfntv.com and click on sponsors. Man, there's so many things going on. If you miss our earlier program, don't forget we're four programs back to back. But if you miss our earlier program, you can catch it at vfntv.com or on our app. If you haven't downloaded our app yet, that's the way to hear things, too, because you can carry it with you everywhere you go. We're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can see us on Christian Television Network. You can see us at VFNTV.com, I think on the app as well. I'm not really sure. And sad to say, you can see us. But yes, this is it. This is it. This is it. You should have seen me in my younger days. Yeah, you know, I can lift stuff and things, you know. And but, you know, some major things are going on right now. We hope to cover in this particular program, you know, what's happening with, and don't forget, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is speaking. I don't know when you're hearing this program this week at APAC. So you want to catch it, you can go to VFNTV.com, click on the torch, and you can catch it. But this Ukraine situation happening, and President Ronald Reagan predicted this would happen. And the governor from Alaska, what's her name? Sarah Palin. She predicted this would happen. And I saw that, you know, she was being interviewed. Who else?
And the former governor of Mitt Romney.
Utah? Was it? No, Michigan.
Mitt Romney.
Massachusetts.
Yeah, he was told that those are 1980s policies, though.
Was that what it was? Well, hello, 80s. Here we are.
Here we are.
I was wondering your hair was so big today. But anyway, just joking. His hair is always perfect, isn't it?
Always.
Always perfect. I just going to give a big shout out to Tracy this morning. Hope everything's going good at the Fed. Right? Yes, we do know somebody who works at the Fed.
Yes, we do.
We do. We've got a few friends at the Fed.
You?
Nah.
We know people's.
Nah. We're going to lower the interest rate. Oh, it's a zero? Well, you know. Anyway, so this thing is taking place where Putin is coming in. The president of Russia is coming in and invading. I think it's like 16,000 troops. They're surrounding reports are saying CBN, Fox, CNN, all these different reporting that the military base in southern Ukraine is being surrounded by the military of Russia. But the reports are Russians' military is not anything at all. I mean,
they don't even have identifiable uniforms. I
mean, yeah, right. Well, that's cost a little extra money, and we're waiting for that. And besides, nobody speaks Russian.
Nah.
Anyway, so he said he wrote it in English, you know, soldier. Anyway, so right. It's amazing. I heard reports that somebody was down. They pulled the statue of Stalin down, you know, recently. And one of the reasons why they did that, as we talked about earlier programs, is that Stalin is the one that starved out Ukraine to win them over to him. And they were the breadbasket of Russia. Think about it. Soviet Union, they were the breadbasket. And so, but they weren't originally. He went and won them, and how he won them, they had all these. Imagine if you have these farm fields, and you're growing corn, and you're growing, you know, collards, and broccoli, and
potatoes,
cows, and fish. Anyway, so you got your stuff growing, right? And so you just go out and you work your field. Back then, they didn't have John Deere and all that. It was Jane Deere. And so this is what happens. This is what we do. And this is what America's doing right now. I don't care what Stalin's saying. We're self-reliant. We can grow our own food. It doesn't matter what those big city folks do. It doesn't matter. We have, don't you know who we are? You know, and we're throwing our chest out saying we can grow our own food. You know, we have fracking. We can frack oil. Frack oil all from under the ground. We have natural gas. You know, we have all these resources in our intellect. We don't have to worry about what Stalin is going to do. And that's what Ukraine was saying in that day. And the question you ask yourself is, why did they, of all the things to be doing, when their president was trying to sell them out to back to the Soviet Union, basically to Russia, because that reminded them of how they ended up in the Soviet Union. They ended up in the Soviet Union because of Stalin. Hmm. And what he did was he sent soldiers to their self-reliant atmosphere and put them, guarded their corn crops. Well, I don't know if it was corn, but guarded their wheat. And just imagine soldiers all around your farm field. Mm-hmm. And starved the Ukrainians to death. I mean, not all of them, but I think it was several million Ukrainians died. And they just starved them. Mm. They starved them. And so kids and people would run into the field to grab something so they could eat, and they shot them in the field.
Wow.
And there's pictures right now. We don't. I don't know if we can hopefully have them available to you on the torch. If you see these young children with this coffee can, it's not coffee, but it's no label on it, and he has his spoon, and both of them are just bones, and he's feeding his little brother something out of that as they're, and then there's other pictures of the Ukrainians laying dead in the streets because they starved to death. They starved to death. But see, they were confident. They were confident because they were self-reliant. And you hear a lot of people, they talk about self-reliancy. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something, as Christians, and that's what we want to encourage you. We're talking about keeping the conversation light. That's the light of the gospel. We are dependent. We are not self-reliant. Mm. We're dependent on God. And through him, he empowers us through his son and his finished work on the cross. And he blesses the work of our hand. You cannot buy in to this thing saying we're self-reliant. That's pride. You know, we'll cut this hone stone and all this stuff's being said in New York. You have to understand, he who actually holds the mountains in place. I know it sounds good. It sounds good, and I know the intentions are good. But you got to say, I mean, as a Christian, I'm reliant upon God. I'm God-reliant. Mm-hmm. Because greater is he that's with me than he that's in the world. If you say you're self-reliant, then God's not going to stand with you. He'll say, okay, let's just play that out and see how it works. But hopefully you'll realize at some point, as he talks about in Acts chapter 17, that I designed the whole world. I created everything. I chose the times and the seasons that you would live. Think about it. And he did that for this one reason, to see if you would say, I'm not self-reliant. Mm-hmm. To see if you would reach out and say, and touch him. Though he's not far from you, will you say, I'm self-reliant? Will you say, I have my cornfields? Will you say, I got my job, my union? Mm-hmm. And so many union folks, let me tell you something. You know, whatever reason it's unionized, understand, have your confidence in God, not your ability to push the owner of that company or the corporation, that thing can fold up in a heartbeat. But God can sustain you even if that company goes down. And he said that I did this. This is what God's saying. I did this, the creator. I might not have said this. He created you. He created the universe. He sits enthroned, surrounded by an emerald rainbow. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. But the worst thing you could say right now is we're self-reliant. Mm. You're not. Nobody's self-reliant. That doesn't last long.
No.
You know, a rebellious teenager, for example, watch what happens to their life. They're self-reliant. And watch how it just spirals out of control and it ends up not well. Mm-hmm. But quite often, they turn around and they humble themselves and they become God-reliant. Mm-hmm. And they go, you know what? This is so much better. Now I know who's actually God. I'm not God. But to say self-reliant, which means I can rely on myself. And the older you get, I mean, come on. Most people that say I'm self-reliant is because you got a lot of money. That's right. You got a lot of corn in your field. You got a lot of stuff and things. And you got the strength of your back. But what about that poor little widow lady that's sitting out there with her limited income, who takes her probably 3 minutes to walk over to the telephone and answer it because it takes a little while to get the body moving in that direction? And you are preaching self-reliance to her. You're saying she's got to fight for herself and defend herself instead of telling her the truth. Mm. As a Christian, we would tell her what we're supposed to do. We rely on God because God will put angels around her house. God will deliver her and provide for her and send provision to her and cause her roof not to leak and cause her electricity to keep going. That's who we serve. Mm-hmm. Don't buy into this. This is whole... You know, I love my country stickers going on right now. And it's like, that's cool. I mean, we want to honor our country. But we, over top of that, as Christians, we want to say, I love God. Mm-hmm. And because I love God, I'm in hopes that he may give us a country. He may allow us to have it. But if even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't deliver us like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, he's still God. And I don't want to go into this furnace not letting you know I know who he is and who he is to me. And he can deliver us. He can't. By the way, let me tell you something as we're about to go to break. God can deliver this nation. This is minor. This is minor compared to some things that have happened in history. This is just minor. But it's major if you're self-reliant. It's major if you're not even looking to him. It's major when the Church of America, according to George Barna, 97% of them are not reading God's word, the scriptures, to be able to see what it is, and 81% are not even picking it up. It's major when 97% of the church is robbing from God while they're demanding to lower our taxes in Washington, D.C., not understanding God put Jehoiakim in place. He puts the leaders in place. This high taxation that's about to hit us at the beginning of the four blood moons, understand this. It's because it's like because we turned to ourselves and became self-reliant and turned away from God, and he's going to turn his back to him. But understand why. Why not turn now and say, you know what? I'm God-reliant. Even if it doesn't turn out well for me. And that's what you got to do when you're relying upon God. You can no longer tell people what your future is going to be. But you can tell you who's got your future. These predictor gospels, you know, if you do this, you're going to get a car. And it's like, go to DePaul and preach that. These right. poor guys, they need your prosperity gospel. Of course, they say in DePaul, what does the owner of the orphanage or the runner of the orphanage say about Americans?
He says, don't bring your stuff here. We don't need it. He told all the, you know, yep. the missionaries, don't bring your stuff. Our kids don't need other stuff. We have God and we have enough.
And they're happy with a stick in a can and playing and all this kind of stuff. Happy. But the Americans are the ones that are sad and depressed because they turned away from God and turned to things. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Come follow me. Come follow me. That's what Jesus said. He said, come follow me. What does that mean? It means to be a disciple. It means to follow him. Listen to Francis Chan as he talks about the reality of today's church, and we have to begin to change ourselves and begin to follow him. I'll tell you more about it after Francis. Listen up.
You know, it's just so strange to me what we do in church sometimes with the commands of God. When you're a kid, remember playing Simon Says, you know, or Follow the Leader. Or Follow the Leader. Some of you that are younger never played it because you can't get the app on your iPhone. But it was something physical. We used to go out and play, you know. We used to move. And you remember Follow the Leader, you know. Leader jumps, you jump, you know. Or Simon Says, pat your head, and you pat your head. It's so weird how in the church we change everything. In the church, you know, follow Jesus has become a different game where in following Jesus, you don't actually have to do what he does. You just have to study it. Jesus says is completely different from Simon Says. If Jesus says something, you just have to memorize it or study it. What about making disciples? What about actually becoming like Jesus? Man, I've got four kids, and if I asked one of my kids, if I told my oldest daughter, hey, Rachel, go clean your room, and what if she comes back to me, you know, an hour later and goes, Dad, I memorized what you said. I can quote it verbatim. In fact, I can say it in the Greek now. She knows I'm not going to go, oh, that's awesome, baby. Or if she says, Dad, I had a bunch of friends over and we did a little study on what it would look like if we cleaned my room. Here's all the notes. It's going to be a 5-week study. You guys, she knows that doesn't fly with me. You guys, why were these commands given? Was it for us to memorize and study and on and on and on and just study them to death? And then at the end of our lives, we're going to go, God's going to say, wait, I asked you to make disciples. I asked you to baptize. how many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you teach to obey everything I could? Because that's what I asked you to do while you were on that earth.
Just think about it. You think about it. Although it's kind of funny, it's kind of true, isn't it? Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 7, 22-23, he said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then he'll say, and he'll tell them plainly, he says, I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Listen, we have to know him. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to abide with him. Apart from abiding him, it's impossible to do what's required of us and expected of us. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like it. Listen, we have a plan for you, a simple abiding plan. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your free plan today. That's at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome back to VFN TV and the Data Radio Program. Joining me, of course, is Pat and John. John, tell us what's happening with this insurance companies, is it? What is it?
Yes. The architect of the Obamacare, which is known as the Affordable Health Care Act, mm-hmm. is actually, they're saying, is the brother of Rahm Emanuel, who was the secretary, not the secretary, the chief of staff of President Obama.
Which is now the governor of Chicago?
Mayor of Chicago.
Mayor of Chicago. Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
so
mayor.
His brother, Ezekiel mm-hmm. Rahm.
Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Wow. Ezekiel.
Ezekiel.
EZ-12, right?
EZ-12. Definitely a sign.
Right.
He wrote an article in the New Republic, and it's entitled "Insurance Companies as We Know It, as We Know Them, Are About to Die." And
wait a minute, these insurance companies that people are relying on?
Yes, yes, yes.
They're about to die. This is the architect of the Affordable Healthcare Act, which some people call Obamacare, some people call affordable, but it's the new healthcare thing that we have Concerned Women for America coming in. You know, Penny mm-hmm. Nance is coming in to speak. I'm sure we're going to have her on the program this week.
That's very exciting, by the way. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a direct quote. He says, "The good news is you won't have insurance companies to kick around much longer. The system is changing, and as a result, insurance companies, as they are now, will be going away. Indeed, they are already evolving, and for the next few years, insurance companies will both continue to provide services to employers and increasingly compete against each other in health service insurance exchanges." And so basically what they're talking about is creating these new organizations called accountable care organizations, which basically encompass networks that involve doctors and hospitals working together to provide the best, you know, rate to us, the consumer. And so what they're trying to do...
I'll give you $25 for that liver.
Exactly.
Really? Well, I was joking. Really?
Well, they're trying to compete with the insurance companies to get those profits out. You know, whatever profit the insurance company is making, these new, what they're calling them, let's see, HCOs, Accountable Care Organizations. And so they're saying this is going to be the future of healthcare. So it's a network of doctors and hospitals together. Mm-hmm. And really, really interesting as you're seeing all of this unfold is like, man, if this was part of the plan, I would have liked to know this ahead of time. You know what I mean?
Well, we have to be, you know, clear here. You know, people just hear what they want to hear. Mm. They hear what they want to hear. People wanted to hear, I want stuff and things and I want everything taken care of. But this is what our president said when he was running for office. There's one thing about President Barack Obama, just so you know, that he tells us and nobody pays attention.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this is what he said. And this is his belief system. And if you understand the history of America, I can kind of understand what he's talking about because if you won't do it this way, mm-hmm. then it's going to be this way. But you could have done it this way, but you didn't do it. But in the context of that, he said in the very beginning in his campaign, he said that, I think there needs to be a single-payer healthcare plan. Mm. And nobody even knows what that means. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do, but really they don't. I mean, we had to find out what hegemony meant. And so you know, they would just want hegemony crickets. You know, like, what is this? It's like, it must be something important. You look at it, it's like, Oh, they want to rule the world. Okay.
World domination.
What's wrong with saying they want to rule the world? Jiminy crickets. You know, we need to say something here. Well, in regards to the president, he said that we believe there needs to be a single player health care plan. And then some of his aides or whatever you call the guys that come in, the czars, whatever that's helping him out, they're openly saying, I think the one that wrote the book, Nudge, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Is that Cass?
Cass Sunstein, possibly, but I don't know. But he said, you know, we're going to have to do all this. Oh, this whole thing is a Trojan horse. Mm. You know, because, but it's a Trojan horse to do what he said he was going to do. So it's not, you cannot say that our president wasn't honest with us.
Right.
You can just say, I refuse to listen to what he was saying to us. And you lived up, pipe dreams, and you did not address the fact there's still not a viable plan out there to take care of our neighbors. Mm. As Christians, we cannot say, don't have health care for folks. I mean, get out of that argument. Even if it takes you, how can you say that you're not going to take care of someone? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's a self-reliant statement. As a Christian, now I can understand if you're not a Christian, but as a Christian, we're called to, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was sick, you cared about me. Mm-hmm. So that's important. And so we can't buy into this. And so what he said, and John, I remember him saying it very specifically, and I didn't know what a single payer health care plan was at that mm-hmm. time, but he said that I believe it needs to be a single payer health care plan. And one of his aides just openly said, and they have, and I don't think it's wrong for his aide to openly say what he believed in. It's just the people don't listen respond.
This is the title of Ezekiel's book. His book, Reinventing American Healthcare. How the Affordable Health Care Act improve our terribly complex, blatantly unjust, outrageously expensive, and grossly inefficient, error-prone system.
Wow.
That's the title.
Wow.
But it's called Reinventing the American Health Care.
Well, I want to say this right now. I know you're going to finish that up, but so what is a single-payer health care plan? That's the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. The ultimate goal, if it succeeds, is to have a single-payer health care plan. Which means this. Right now, you have all these mechanisms. You keep the same doctor, and you're going to have your lower premiums and all these different concepts. The websites are crashing. That's all Alinsky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just how you organize the people and get them so upset with what it is. They're willing to buy into the original intent. What the original intent was is a single-payer healthcare plan, which is this. The government is the one that provides healthcare, period. That's probably where you're going to go, but that's the government provides healthcare. I know when we were in a hospital recently, actually sometime back, we had an Israeli soldier that was there, and he was talking to us in the hospital in America. And they take care of their people in Israel. Mm-hmm. The government does. And it didn't even cross his mind. I'm thinking he showed up in his sitting there in the hospital, and he's waiting to be taken care of. But wouldn't that be cool if mm-hmm. we had a system that we took care of folks? And as Christians, who are we to say that the sad thing about it, because of how it's coming about, it's not well. But that's the president has said that. He said single care health care plan. Maybe it was the man that you talked about that wrote Nudge.
Yes.
Cass Sunstein that said that. But either way, ultimately what they're trying to fix it, and they're saying fixing it, the best way to fix it is to put it in the hands, totally 100% in the hands of the driver's license office.
It's encouraging.
Right. No, sir, you don't have an appointment. Come back tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
It's like, I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack.
Well, you need to schedule that
heart
attack.
Take a number. Can you escort him to the back of the line? You. Give him a shot. I mean, it's not going to be well. But understand, if we rebel against God, God puts taskmasters over us. And if we as a church don't even say we're concerned about and we have a viable plan to take care of our fellow citizens, brothers and sisters, I mean, somebody else is going to do it because God cares about people.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's basically right on track. I mean, this is where this is headed. But it's interesting how it's all really unfolding. Although there are some things that have been said, there's a lot of things that we're still trying to figure out and learn about Affordable Health Care Act. And that's why I'm really excited about Penny Nance in the interview and what she's going to be able to share, but there's more and more that we're learning. And I had no idea about these ACOs And it's really interesting. The whole article is talking about how eventually these insurance companies are going to basically have to evolve around what these guys are getting ready to do.
And we will too. The entire country will be fundamentally transformed around the new methodology of government. You're right.
Get ready.
Well, we're going to have Nancy on, Penny Nance on, Concerned Women for America coming on. She's also speaking around the nation. I believe she's going to speak in Pensacola, Florida on March the 14th. We'll be talking more about that at New World Landing. And join us in a future program today, four programs back to back, because we're going to talk about a Christian alternative to the present governmental health care that's breaking loose right now.
Oh, wow.
It's been around, but now thousands of people are realizing there is an alternative to that. And Fox News is reporting. We'll talk about what they're talking about in the context of that. But think about it. What if Christians begin to develop their own health care program where you didn't have to sell out your values and they accepted it?
Yeah.
They accepted it as a viable alternative, that you have coverage, that you have some form of coverage that's going on. And it's kind of the Christian way of doing things. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Coming up on next program.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with five locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something.
Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.